Thanks for tuning in again, everybody. We're back with your favorite podcast, Luca's Tigers and Bronze, Oh My.
Luca Nation, you're in for a treat because on the weekend is when I kind of get into my Instagram discussions, banter, all that stuff. And honestly, we did this awards. They were amazing because for three reasons. One, we made people feel good and well-deserved. All the winners, congratulations. They've had huge years. They've been in the hobby. They helped the hobby. But we also, a lot of people came into comments and tagged different accounts, different people, different shops that we may or may not have known before. And those that dialogue, you know, kind of creating a community around sports cards and supporting each other has been the best part of those polls. And we didn't even think about that when we first created it. So one of the most adamant people about that was Breaking Wax. It's someone that I'm close with. I've been on his show before. He doesn't love how I'm introducing him, but I've wanted to do a banter episode for you guys for a while now. Like, I just want to
come on. Be honest. What he said was, Andrew, you're an asshole. You don't know what you're doing. Whoever's putting this poll out is a jerk. And I, Don, Breaking Wax, who don't break wax, should be the winner of every poll in every category. That's what he told you. And now you're being you're lying. So I understand why he's mad at you.
I was with you until the last part. I'm a nobody. I'm literally a nobody. I'm still confused so am as I. Why I'm on this show. I don't even know why. I'm confused though because the last 45 minutes talking, you didn't record any of that. We're live.
That's right.
Now.
We're live. We are recording. 100%. But the fun part is, listen, you know, everybody in the hobby belongs. And you made a comment, and Andrew was like, I got to get this guy on. And let's bring in Bro Namath. And let's just get a roundtable ridiculousness going here because it's been a year since we had Bro Namath on. The last time he was on, I couldn't spell Bitcoin. Now I can't. Now I can't spell fiat. Exactly. Now it's all about crypto. But now I'm worried about shitcoins, and I'm worried about, you know, the whole rest of the world. So we got to get Bro Namath on. We got to get Don Breaking Wax on, and it's a fun episode, and we're hitting the ground running. All right, Andrew, you want some banter? What do you want to talk to these guys about?
I want to ask Don just right off the bat, and Bro Namath, we'll get you on in a second here. We had all of these different people in the awards. What did you think of the awards in general? Like, I handed it over to you. You would run it next year for us. You're under the Luca Nation.
You're in charge now, Don.
What would you have done with them?
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing is, like, I commented two things. I named two breakers that I like personally that weren't on there. One of the breakers kind of like commented multiple times under my comment. And then I made a comment about Brandon being on your show and giving good information for everybody. And just wondering where he was at on the poll, you know, because he's my boy. So it was more or less me busting his balls, but there's some truth to it. I think a couple other people too were like, hey, where's Brandon? Where's Bro Namath?
Listen, we left them off because we all know that Bro Namath spends way too much time on the poll. So we left them off hours.
Well, he's an entrepreneur. I don't know how young that is.
Listen, that poll is not so easy to get up anymore at 34 years old. I quit about 2 years ago, and I started buying cards and comics, and I'm fucking here.
But no one's ever going to be happy with a poll, right? Like, I mean, that was the thing is you – no matter what you do, and I message you that, you know, like either people are gonna love it, they're gonna hate it, or they're gonna be like, "Where the fuck's my?
Why do you think we had a part two? Because people who were left out of part one were like, "Where am I?" So now we gotta do a part three. it's gonna be a poll a week.
No, you can't just win. The thing. I would say you could do a survey, but no one fills out surveys, so you guys are in a lose-lose situation.
Man, our biggest fans were.
It was a great idea. Our biggest fans were Guillermo and Golden. Guillermo took it and posted it on all her social media channels. And Golden responded, abstain, abstain, golden, 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 golden.
Yeah, abstain. Golden, abstain. He like abstain, abstain. He responded, abstain, abstain.
I'm just next year when the poll comes around, I'm going to make sure to like send them $100 so I can get on the poll.
There you go. That works.
We'll put you in it from
my poll money.
Well, you're stealth. You're always like, you know, one step ahead of the curve, bro. What are you buying now? So when everyone was buying, what was it, cards, you were buying comics. When everyone started buying comics, you started buying VHS. When everyone was buying VHS, you were buying Rolexes, yachts.
He's not telling you what he's buying now because he's ahead of everybody. He could tell you what he was buying a couple months ago because that's what everybody else.
That's not true. I always post what I'm buying. That's one thing about me. Like every time I buy something, as soon as it comes in, I post it. And somebody's like, oh, well, what the hell are you buying? Why are you buying cassettes? I'm like, I don't know. Let's see what happens with cassettes. I mean, you don't know, VHS are doing pretty well, and I think more people listen to cassettes than they watch VHS. So right now, I did really well with Bowman. Bowman Baseball is doing phenomenal. I think you've seen a lot of money trickle in from high-end basketball and football into Bowman Baseball that don't even know anything about prospects. So an absurd amount of money is being spent in prospects. I mean, a super factor 101 of Marcelo Mayer sold or got an offer for $80,000. I mean, that's insane. You know, that wouldn't have happened the last year for the number one, you know. Like,
so just so you know, right? So Bowman prospecting, baseball prospecting is a completely different world, right? So yesterday, a guy who works with us, Manny, was in a break with Reckless Cards, right, on Whatnot, I believe. And he hit it out of 50, Bowman's best auto of Mayer, right?
Did he really? So that's the guy?
So he posts in our group to, you know, to Andrew, and, hey, I just got this awesome cards out of 50, blah, blah, blah. And Andrew's like, Marcelo? What soccer team is he on?
Who is this guy?
You know, so, but baseball's a very, very weird sector in the hobby because everyone wants Bowman first. And there's a massive drop down from everything else. It's 100%. It's Bowman first. It's Topps Chrome. It's Topps Flagship Paper. And then everything else drops all the way down. It's like a massive drop. Where basketball, you have 10 to 15 products that are pretty good. So Bowman, a lot of money's being pumped there right now. I was in on top, Bowman Chrome last year, and did really well with Christian Hernandez, who's a Cubs prospect, 17-year-old kid, and been selling a lot of his stuff right now, holding some of his stuff. The Beck is, you know, Bowman, you can make money in so many different levels down the road with a prospect, just climbing up the ranks on the prospect list. So Bowman Baseball, I'm buying more Miles Morales comics just because it's inevitable. If you guys saw a Spider-Man movie, I've been talking about Miles Morales. The last time on your show, I talked about him. Yep. I said, buy his variants. Those variants I told you back then were going for like $2,000-$3,000. Now they're $15,000, $20,000. It's just, it's nuts. And he's starting to become realized. So I'm buying more of him. The VHS, I was buying a lot of, and then a lot of people got into it. I saw a Golden Man auction with some VHS and did really well, or Heritage, one of the two. And a lot of VHS sold for big dollars. Obviously, Rovell's into VHS right now. Tickets are taking off. I mean, everything's taking off except for your, you know, modern base sports cards.
How do people not get nervous about the lockout? I don't understand.
Baseball?
No, they'll get it fixed.
Not with the prospects. And the lockout's really only about a TV bargaining agreement. It's not even about, you know, anything else. That's an easy fix. Yeah, I think I think it's about what, the local channels?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, they'll get that. They won't miss any. This will be a small stoppage. They won't miss any real time. They'll get it taken care of. But what he's talking about with Bowman is, you know, those guys are not playing this year anyway. Those guys might not play for 4 years, 5 years, some of them,
and,
you know.
And they'll play in the Dominican League and get the same exact amount of experience that they have over here anyways.
Right. So what's the hidden gem then, right? If ticket stubs are popping off and cassettes and videos, VHSs are popping off, what's a hidden gem, bro, name it? Type 1 photos?
Digital type one cards photos. And, like, pictures of animals.
Pictures of animals? I mean, you got plenty digital. Of those, don't you?
A bunch of on the chain.
You got a bunch
You got
to
put them on the line.
On the line. No, seriously. What's next? What? Where's the bro name that's special?
Me, I have nothing to give you guys, but everything I tell you. You know.
Let me ask you then, because I want to ask this question. We'll go macro and then micro. And I appreciate you guys sticking with us. All our episodes are different. Some of them, you know, we have Nat Ken, very formal, very, you know, Josh Luber want to get, you know, he put that 50-page deck together. We want to get you guys value. Some episodes, Cage and I, you know, we dig into things. Sometimes we just want to banter, have fun with two people we really respect and love. So I'm going to go macro. I'll go to you, Brendan, and I'll go to you, Don. Last year was kind of the year of business in the hobby, right? So you saw Golden Auctions, BWCC Alt. So now there's not even that much inventory on eBay anymore, you know? You saw buyouts. Card Ladder got bought out. Golden got bought out. Mergers. All this money come in. When you first saw all that news, right? Good for the hobby, bad for the hobby, and I mean Fanatics. I didn't even talk about that, and then they just bought Tops, and then they got the license, all that stuff. So good for the hobby, bad for the hobby, and maybe like, what was your initial reaction?
I think there's too many auction houses right now. They've got more and more popping up left and right. It makes it kind of difficult to keep track. I think a lot of cards are going to slip through the cracks. That like $5,000 to $20,000 range cards are going to slip through the cracks, in my opinion. You know, I think. I mean, we have an issue like Golden had a card sold that gold Edwards and got relisted.
Anthony Edwards. Yep.
How does that happen? You know, so are you not keeping the buyers accountable for purchasing off of your auction site? I think there's a lot of questions there that make me a little worried. I do a lot of my sales, again, like you guys know, on Instagram, on eBay. I still sell on eBay. And I think eBay is a great marketplace just because we're looking at cards. I mean, comics sell extremely well on eBay. There's some Instagram pages that, you know, consign sell as well. So for me, it's I don't like how many auction houses we have. I don't necessarily like the direction the hobby's going in as a whole. I think a lot of people are into just rip other people off. And I think that's been apparent for a while. I know we've talked about that before on the podcast, but I think it's gotten worse. I think that a lot of people think they're a star in the hobby. I think they think they're celebrity status, so they can ask and get more money. And guess what? They usually do. And I think that's sickening. For us to put those people on a pedestal, it makes me sick. I mean, I made a post about it the other day on my story. I was like, too many people think they're a celebrity in the hobby that weren't doing shit 3 years ago. Like, why are we giving those people this stage because they just lucked out and they were in the hobby? And a lot of them are pricks. You know, you talk to people that are just everyday people like myself. I have a career. Don has a career. You guys have careers that this is not our full-time job. And they can't go up. They can't go up to someone. And
career. It's a nauseating word.
Well, listen, with those headphones, I mean, you got a career headphone, man.
That's right. That's true.
When you go to these shows, you can't even say hi to some of these people because they think they're better than you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like when I was set up at the show, I was giving away cards to kids because that's the foundation of the hobby or any hobby is you have to have kids involved. And I'm not saying that from a selfish point. I'm saying because that's how I remember it. So yep. I'm giving cards to kids and, you know, someone next to me is like, I can't believe you did that. Why would you give him cards? Now he's going to expect everything free. I'm like, back up, dude. Like, honestly, like, this is what I want to do. It's my shit. If I want to go give all my shit away, I can. But it's important that you're overpricing all your stuff. These kids can't afford it. And you think you're a celebrity status. And if someone doesn't buy something through you, they want you to get away from my table. There's other people coming. They need to look at my shit. You're just window shopping. To me, the whole show thing.
Get out of here. Sick. Somebody did that to you? Somebody told you
window
shopping?
No. Oh, man. Not to me. But I heard it to other kids, though. I heard it to kids.
It's an expensive table cage.
Yeah, but I heard it to kids. I'm like, come on, man. Like, how do you treat kids like this? And I know, yeah. Cage, your kid's involved. And, you know, to me, that makes me sick. And these guys rolling around with cameras and they're celebrities. Yeah. And they think they're in a Notorious B.I.G. music video with Puff Daddy and all the bad boys are coming through. Ah, man, that to me, it makes me sick.
Are you describing a sports card investor video right now?
I mean, I'm just everyone. And this is for everyone that's involved.
I'm thinking shots at everyone today. I don't even care.
Everyone.
I love you all.
It makes me
I gotta go find this video. That sounds awesome.
Dude, it makes me sick, man. Fuck.
All right, fine. Bernie, we'll come back to that. You come up with
some positive shit, though, too. No. Dude, that, I mean, we'll let Don go, but I like that. I mean, it's honest because, I mean, look, we have a lot of people who come in. We can have optimism, too. I'm sure Don's going to bring it, you know, and, but, you know, you have to hear that, too, because, guys, listen, there's money to be made. And, you know, that there's a lot of money in this hobby, but that doesn't mean you have to be a total dick. Also, don't forget that to keep making money, you need that new blood to come. That new blood is kids, right? I mean, that this hobby only keeps going, right? The Mickey Mantle you bought is only relevant to the next generation of people who are going to make money if you're not a dick to them and send them off to go and buy sneakers instead of cards. So I get what he's saying. Trust me, I do.
Doesn't the truth come to the light? Like, if I'm an influencer and I'm a dick, won't people out me quicker?
You would think.
I don't think so. You would think, but not. I mean, so I've talked about it a few times. You know, when grading was cheap, I graded probably 1,000 cards in the last 2 years. I had so much stuff, I started doing repacks. And when I do a repack, if the buy-in's $100, besides the chasers, I guarantee every single person's going to get their value in the card they get, right? So no matter what, you're going to get $100. And for me, I can't sleep at night just giving them a $100 card. So it's usually over the $100. I don't understand, like Brandon's saying, where people buy into these repacks and they're like, they're not 10 repacks. It's like 50 at $200. And there's like two chasers. I don't know why, number one, people keep buying into those repacks. And two, I don't know how those guys sleep at night and why people continue to follow them. It's like the weirdest thing. And then you see those same people at the card shows, like Brandon's saying, with cameras on them, filming, yelling, acting crazy. And it just, it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know who they're appealing to. It's somebody. But back to your question, though, about the auction houses and all that stuff. I just, you know, I've been hearing a lot about this junk slab era, right? And like, we're fully in it. You know what I mean? This junk slab era of a million Lucas, a million Zions, all these base cards being PSA 10. And nobody's doing themselves any favors, right? Like, it's all a money grab right now. The shops, it's a money grab. The grading companies, it's a money grab. This, the money can't just sustain forever. I know everyone's, we talked about a little bit pre-show, like everyone's kind of feeding into this gambling, addictive nature that the hobby has. It's not sustainable. I don't think it's healthy. And just like Brandon said, like with the kids at the show, I think I gave this kid a Wander PSA 10. It was just the rookie debut one, but his dad was just like, wait, why are you doing this? I was like, wait, why not? Because when I was a kid, God, I wish someone would have gave me a PSA anything, Bo Jackson rookie card. You know what I mean? And people just don't do that stuff. And that, like, so for me, I'm more interested in the good people that are like, and keeping those people in my circle. You know what I mean? So like Brandon, him and I met through Instagram, but he's one of my closest friends. I talk to him almost every day. And it's all about the good people and doing good things too, not just making the money. I understand the making the money part, and there's definitely money to be made still, even with the price increases and stuff. But I just think as a whole, the money grab all around in the hobby is a bad look, and it's just going to keep pushing things downward, not upward. So,
okay. Stay till the end, listeners, because we have a little surprise for you. Just a little giveaway, since we're talking about giving back. And I agree. A lot of people made money in the last year and a half. And I've said it on our show when it's just Cage and I, like, the businesses can find ways to give back. Like, you could, oftentimes, and I caught myself doing it. Like, you're talking about your repack, you're like putting in more than $100. And I was like, well, how does he make money? Like, eventually you run out of money. But then I was like, it's not or, it's and. You can, as a business, still, you know, make money, run your business, price things so you're profitable, but also find ways to get back.
So what Don's talking about is he was bulk grading, right? So even though he's giving $100 plus in value for a $100 repack, he's not into it for $100, so he can make money while people still do well. It's the same thing I do on Whatnot on the weekends. Right. You know what I mean? Like, if I have a cards that I grade, well, and I pay,
you give plays that make money too, Cage. You've been on fire. Yes, that's true.
Somebody messaged us today. They hit a 5-game parlay based on Sunday, which is
that
nice.
Was
I'll fading take that.
My picks. I went 0-5, and they went 5-0 by fading.
Nice. That's the way. Listen, that's the best way to make money is fade in. No, but the point is that, you know, if I'm sending something in that cost me $2, and then I happen to bulk grade it at 10, I'm into it for $12, right? If it's on eBay for 60, and I sell it on Whatnot to somebody for 45, I'm still doing fine. The person is thrilled because they're getting a bargain. Like, there's way to leave meat on the bone, you know, keep people happy, take care of people, not squeeze every dollar from them and do that kind of stuff. So, Don, I understand exactly what you're talking about. There's not a lot of people doing it, though.
I was going to say, that is not normal anymore. You know, Whatnot is getting punched with just $5 cards getting sold and $15 repacks, you know, and it's...
So I got to tell you something. We can talk about it because Andrew ran away. The Federales came, so I'm going to do the rest of the episode here. Hopefully the Wi-Fi doesn't cut out and the whole deal, right? So, but here's the fun, right? I've never done a repack. Tell me what it is, because now obviously you do them, right? Tell me what it is that makes that something that's worthwhile, right? Why do a repack? Why would anyone do it, right? And I guess, you know, can you hear me now?
Going on.
Rename, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I mean, I'm asking about repacks, right? So, I mean, Don, so I'll take it a different way. Hopefully you can hear me, Don. You do repacks, but there's a lot of folks he just left. Nice. Yeah. So forget about Don with the repack. Oh, man. You know, I mean, Andrew leaves. Don leaves. It's just me and you.
Just me and you.
Just me and you. Just me and you. So let's see. So Pokemon. Because, you know, you and I can talk about that. Dead? Going to have another run? Flat? What do you think?
I'm starting to see more money get back into it. I know you have, especially like first edition stuff is starting to get sold again. A lot of Shadowless stuff is getting sold again.
What did you do to Don? I left for one minute to go to the bathroom. You kicked
As soon as you walked off, the audio went crazy.
Same thing happened to you. Y'all both left.
He left for a second.
I think the vintage Pokemon is starting to come back. The higher grade stuff, you know, more money's being pumped into it. But I don't know if we see what we saw. Was it a year and a half ago, which was banana? Because it was just a sector that wasn't touched yet. It wasn't appreciated, right. And that's been my whole thing. Like the reason why I go after VHS or cassettes is because it just no one's thought about it. No one's appreciated it. No one's thought about this being worth something. So that's what happened with Pokemon and cards. Because you looked at how much, you know, Luka Logo Man was going for, and then you've got, you know, Charizard PSA 10s that are just hovering at a certain price point. Like, well, that might be the play.
Yep. All right. Hey, well, listen.
Cage, you mentioned bulk grading at 25. Did you see that somewhere?
No, it's just my little birdie.
Oh, super secret squirrel group chat or something?
Exactly.
No, because
just my little birdie.
I was talking about it with Andrew beforehand. I already had my mind made up that I'd be okay with $50, but I would love 25. I know 15 is not coming back ever. So
50 is coming. 25 end of year goal. Hypothetically.
That'd be nice.
10 was nice.
6 million card back. 6 million card backlog. 6 million card backlog. That's gotta get cleared up.
Still. What are they like a year behind, right? A year behind on
the you got to hope that they did, you know, they're really pumping that out now because they're still not taking in as many cards as they were. So you got to hope.
Listen, they've been quick on the $150 and $300 subs right now.
Yeah.
I've been getting those back really quick.
Yeah.
When did your allegiance from BGS to PSA change, Brandon?
When BGS told me that a pack pulled. No, I could care less about the price. It was when BGS told me that a pack pulled Bowman Chrome Auto was altered, that I pulled out of a pack and I screenshotted the breaker pulling it for me. I was like, oh, really? I altered this auto that was pulled out of a fucking pack of cards? Okay. So you're going to take my $150 and just tell me to piss off? All right. So I sent a PSA in at 10:10. And I didn't tell you, Don. I sent back the whoever VP of that region an email, said, well, PSA deemed it a 10:10. I would like my money back.
Did you get it? I'm still waiting.
Still waiting, of course. He told me to send it in. We'll grade it for free, this, that, and the other. I was like, you know what? I don't give a shit about that. It's a principle.
Unless they're giving you the black label on both ends. Forget about it.
So, yeah, right.
So hard is so interesting.
Yeah, I sold it to him that Kevin made. 10:10.
Yeah, you can't really see it with the cover on it. But yeah.
So Don is your exit liquidity? But we are to Barry, honest to you.
Yeah. I hook up people.
Let me ask you. Do. So I asked you guys, what did you think of 2020 businesses? You talked about all of these small shops, but you had no takes on Fanatics literally taking over Topps, Panini licenses, and then buying Topps. No comment on that?
It's irrelevant.
I think go ahead, Brandon.
I just think it's irrelevant. Everyone spends so much time talking about something they have no control over. Get over it, and that's what the way it's gonna be.
Doesn't matter.
I mean, this is why he's the highest paid person in television. Yes. everybody wants one that's
sure in the hobby.
I'm keeping it real. We're going to talk about Topps Chrome basketball and Topps Chrome football, which is awesome. But at the end of the day, you guys aren't going to do anything to change Fanatics. It is what it is.
I'm keeping it real up in the field. All right. So listen, I love it, bro. And what's funny about it is you're sort of right. Dismissive, but right, because I think their goal is to not change anything. Their goal, if they do it the right way,
statement saying that everything's going to stay status quo.
Yeah, it's just have the consumer not even know. Maybe we'll make it a little bit better. So yeah, we've spent a lot of time talking about what they want to do is nothing. You know,
Topps already emailed like Platinum members saying that everything's going to stay the same. Nothing's going to change.
Yeah, but we're going to be here a year from now or 2 years, whenever they take over, and we're going to be complaining about something, and everything's going to be the same, and nothing's going to change. The only thing that could change if they truly go straight to consumer and they beat out like GTS and these other places that sell to shops, that's where the price gouging happens. If they change that, if they truly stand by their word, then I would be a big fan of that. I just don't see that happening.
Right.
All right. Let's go here then. I'll start with you, Don, if that's okay, and then we'll go to Bro Name It. Too many auction houses. Too many grading companies? Yes or no? And why?
I will say I'm a firm believer in competition. And I was all on board with the HGA, the CSG slabs. I'm actually sitting in front of like 100 CSG slabs right now. But people in the hobby, and I talk about this on my podcast. I don't know if we talked about it, Andrew, but people in the hobby are fucking snobs, right? They just they like what they like, and that's it. So even though I do think there's too many grading companies and they're not going to survive, especially if $25 bulk subs are coming back, and they're not doing themselves a favor either, because like the CSG slabs, I submitted 300 cards, not a single 10. My last PSA sub, 100 cards, I think I had 80 10s. And I looked through it, through every single card with a fine tooth comb. So when you're talking about making money and those margins, why would you send the CSG or some of these other companies if they're grading so much harder than BGS or PSA? I mean, and the thing that people are missing on with PSA is that it's, I think in their grading statement, they even say it's the eye appeal too, right? It's not just those definitive corner surfaces and edges. But yeah, I think there's too many companies and they're going to see themselves out here for real soon, actually. It is what it is. And I was rooting for them. I wanted CSG or HDA or somebody to come in and be that third company, but they're just, like I said, people are snobs. I mean, it's just like with the Bowman thing. I know, Andrew, you don't do baseball, right? But like even with Bowman draft or those Bowman first, people don't like the waves and the shimmers, even though they're gold, red, and silver. It's the same thing. And people hate the greens, even though those cards are numbered to 99. They'll sell less for than like a refractor will for whatever reason, because people just hate certain things in the hobby. And it's like, I don't know what you could do to change those opinions.
So I'm actually kind of curious about something. So the three people I have in front of me, all of them buy raw, or all of them have bought raw grade flip. That was kind of like your first entree into the hobby, right? Cage, fair?
Yeah, definitely.
Don, fair. Bro, name it, fair.
Yep.
Now that's kind of gone. Is that fair to say?
And no, guys, it's not gone. It's not gone. It's like we were talking about pre-show. It's still there, and Brandon can talk about it. But like now, it's just you got to buy higher end cards, and it's a, you know, it's like the old adage, right? It takes money to make money, so you're gonna have to spend some money on some bigger cards, raw cards, and take that risk of grading them and selling them.
What's funny, man, is I was always a bulk value sub. Bro Namath a year ago was telling us how what he used to do was break stuff immediately when it first comes out and then send it in 5 day and be the first one to market with it. That's a very different strategy. That's something
I was with you, Cage. No, I was with you with the bulk sub thing.
I do the same thing now with Bowman. First to come out on the market with a Bowman auto is usually going to get more than the fifth one that comes out afterwards. It's just how it is. People want to secure that 10. They want to secure it and have it and be done with it and not worry about it. It's not to say the value is going to plummet. It's just that you have more that hit the market. And a year, 6 months from now, it's going to get back up, if not more. I mean, I did that same thing with the Bowman just now. Literally, I did 5 day subs on higher end stuff. And you have to buy what people want. Too many people buy things, you know, thinking, okay, well, I'm gonna buy these Zion base cards and then go back up. Like, yeah, people wanted those a year and a half ago. And people don't really want them now. You know, you have to buy stuff that's liquid.
Are you still buying LeBron?
I've been actually going after LeBron autos just because they're hard to find, specifically like Cavs uniform stuff. I think that those are undervalued. I think Jordan autos are undervalued. Neither one of them sign anymore. You know, you look at Brady. I think Brady's like, what, $1,500 or $1,700 for an autograph, and he doesn't sign cards or tickets. So I think Brady's card autos are good. Stuff like that I've been trying to go after.
I think Brady is still undervalued as far as his cards go, compared to, like, if you compared him to, like, a Jordan PSA 9 to a Brady PSA 9, it's like...
I mean, like, his 2018 Prism Silver is a bargain, you know?
Yeah, the 25K. I don't understand that at all. I'm pretty sure I gave a CSG 9.5 away this summer.
It just doesn't... It doesn't make sense. It's...
All right. Well,
Cage probably gave that play on Whatnot and sold that.
I probably did. Man, but I mean, 2018 Prism. I mean, you know, I remember opening that. I mean, it's whatever. It is what it is. I mean, you know, imagine opening that and you're looking for a quarterback, right? At the what's funny about it is at the time
I was tossing that stuff, man.
Like, yeah, you were probably hoping for Baker, right? It was like when it was coming out. I want a Baker. Baker Mayfield was the hot. You got a Tom Brady Silver. You're like, okay, whatever. You know, it's Brady Silver, not even numbered, whatever. And now it's $25,000. It's crazy.
God, what's the pop report on those things?
Well, I think it's pretty low because, I mean, not that many people grade them.
I mean, God, I don't know. It was one per case, no, Cage? One per case.
What? Silvers?
Yeah.
No.
That's the base card set. I don't give an F about maybe that. That's the base card set.
Maybe there's one Brady per case.
Crazy.
Did you not see this in the OG Sports Group and in our Discord? Because I asked that same question.
For the 2018 Prism Silver? No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, for sure. The one that's – yeah, for sure. We'll find it. We'll do it in a separate episode on that. But, like, misery loves company. So let's beat up on our little brother, the NFT world. Right, Brendan? before we hopped on here, you were like, all you got to do is slap an animal onto a picture and sell 10,000 of them. And I was like, kind of reminds you of Luca Prism Base. And you said it's even worse. Mm-hmm. What do you – this was one of the busiest weekends in NFTs this past – Saturday and Sunday, like there are a few NFTs that I could think of that went from, let's say, $2,000 to $20,000, and that's a 10,000 collection. What do you think is going to happen over there, if you follow it at all?
Why did it multiply like that?
We're still trying to figure it out. This was a South Korean pop star.
So we felt the same way about cards a year and a half ago. Why the hell are Pokemon cards multiplying at this rate? Did we ever figure it out then? No. And guess what? It's not there anymore.
Logan Paul, right?
No, wrong. Logan Paul wasn't even in a year and a half ago.
Yes, he was. He did the break with Golden.
No, right? He did break... a year and a half ago, with your
friend, the Rolex-wearing tattooed guy.
Crypto King.
Collectible guru. You don't even know those friends.
Yeah,
how do I know?
It's hard.
He's got a bunch of names.
Yeah, it is hard.
Are you guys following the Logan Paul case? And like, why is there radio silence on that?
Hush money. I have no idea. Cage is our lawyer. They were eating burgers in Vegas.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything.
Which is frustrating because I think it was chicken fingers. I couldn't get chicken fingers. I've been craving chicken fingers since I saw that video. I just can't find them here.
They don't have them in Mexico?
You know how to make them?
Do you know how to make them?
Yeah, I know how to make them. I got 3 kids.
And a restaurant style kitchen. What do you got? Like deep fry that?
You can pan fry them. I mean, it's chicken tenders. What are you talking about here?
I mean, so the NFTs, man. To be completely open, I have the VV app. I think there is some value in the VV app because the licenses that they have. I compare it in my own mind to like what Funko Pops were. You know, it's a pop culture hobby, and it's kind of transitions into the NFT, and they have the AR technology, which I think is really cool. Like, I'll drop Spider-Man in my living room. My kids will go over there, take a photo, and come over, and like, oh, my God, Spider-Man's here. It's really cool. I think that's cool. I just don't understand why people are paying what they're paying for you know, an alligator with a pair of shades on ripping a blunt.
Cage?
Prism's a one per box.
He just described your favorite NFT.
One per box.
One per box, because there were 10 parallels, not one per case, one per box. So 10 parallels, one not numbered, 9 of them numbered, and everything, including Hyper, was numbered.
This is the case.
He's got his mindset on something else.
Very big difference. So yes, no, so not one per case, one per box. But, so what do I think, the VVAP, right? I like the VVAP. I mean, I like what they're doing. I like these different kind of digital stuff. But I mean, what's funny about the digital space is we've talked about how you can get stretched too thin in the auction world for sports cards and things fall through the cracks and not know where to look. And, you know, you kind of like your head spins like, well, I got to look at this place. I got to look at where I got to look at this auction house. I got to look eBay and Alt, and I don't want to miss a card. Think about how many different platforms for digital stuff there is now. For right now, Veeve has the Marvel licensing, and they have like the, you know, they have the comic book stuff and then the Disney stuff. So that's a different story. If you're into that, that's the place to look. But like, You'll be talking about digital sports. You got Top Shot. You got Panini doing their digital thing. You got all those other marketplaces that are coming out, and then regular, you know, NFTs as well. There's a proliferation of the digital space already as well. It becomes very difficult. You know, you wind up like, all right, I'm going to do nothing because I can't stay on top of everything. So,
but this is my issue, is that whatever the hell it was that sold for, was it 4X, 5X over the weekend?
12X.
Okay, 12X. Sold for 12X. How do we not know that he just didn't sell it to himself?
Trust me, I stay up until 3 a.m. and I'm clicking on links and going wallet to wallet. I try to figure it all out. And in many cases, I do believe that is in fact the case.
And then they sell for a marginal loss, but they still made money. And
but how do we know that with anything, though?
Right.
You know what I mean? 700...
Yeah, but it's a lot easier to do it on that platform than it is for me to sell my own car, to go through all that trouble. This is going boop, 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 boop. You're going around doing it all day long. You can do it any hour.
I mean, listen, let's just say you had 5 out of the 10 Christian Vasquez rookie autos out of 10, right? And you have them from last year. You have 5 of them. Well, what's stopping you from selling one to Don with your own money? It gets publicized.
That's such a micro scale compared to what's happening in the NFT world. The NFT world, that's happening far more often.
Yeah, but if he sold it to me, though, I mean, I guess the thing with that is that there's no record of it, right? It's not like an eBay comp.
And it would never. I'm using you two guys because you're two guys in front of me. I know you would never do this, but the point is, then you guys publicize it and say we sold this card at $100,000, right? Oh wow, this is a $100,000 card. It's the greatest thing on earth. Well, it so happens you didn't actually sell it to him. You still have it, and you still have 4 other ones. You sell the next couple of them at 75, 65, 80, whatever the hell it's going to be, because you've set this comp where it is. It's the same thing. I know it's a smaller scale. But I mean, the point is, we'd never know. You know, we'd never know either way.
I speculate that's exactly what's happening with the Marvel PMGs. But you know, what do I know?
I think you might be right.
Yeah, that
I think you might be right. $100,000+.
What was it? 200,000 for the Spider-Man? Is that what it was?
I mean, I might have been born yesterday, but I definitely wasn't born today. That's for damn sure.
I mean, that's 50 of them, right? I mean, that blue, that's old, the Spider-Man blue. There's 50 of them.
It's an irrelevant piece of Marvel history. That's how I look at it, compared to the comics.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, listen, I understand the PMG space for card people. There are PMG collectors. There are people who want to have that card. They don't pop up that often. I get it, but not to the extent that someone just paid. Your take is from a comic standpoint, and we've talked about this. You know, you and I talk about the Marvel cards from 1990. And you said that they're kind of stupid, just own the comic book. But there still clearly is a segment of people who buy those. They haven't 20X since we spoke. But the PSA 10s, they haven't grown and popped the way that I thought they were going to grow. I was a little nervous about the PSA 10 pop growing. PSA's done a pretty good job of not just slamming 10s. I know I graded a lot myself. I didn't get a lot of 10s. And, you know, I mean, listen, if you're a fan of Aunt May, the Marvel card's the way to go, right? You know,
can I comment?
Gets her own card. She doesn't have her own comic book.
Yeah. Don didn't get enough tens. You're saying PSA is a given. Don didn't get enough tens. You're saying PSA didn't give too many tens. I love this like sweet spot that we like kind of think that there should be just enough tens, but not too many. I always find that
they know what they're. They know what they're doing.
Certain sets get certain attention, man. Top scroll in basketball, 03 LeBron, like, they're not going to gem the same way they gem pack pull.
Right.
Is there still alpha left in the hobby, like F1 cards, soccer cards?
I never got into either, so I can't even compliment you.
Prospects. So other than baseball prospects, if we don't know those guys that no one knows about, there's no more alpha left?
Yeah, but nobody does. There's people are buying stuff sight unseen. Oh, he's the first pick. He's on the Cubs. Gotta have him. He's compared to A-Rod. Gotta have him. They're speculating, you know, just on a whole nother level because they have no idea who the hell he is.
I think that's why I think Bowman's fun or the prospecting's fun, because anyone can pull up these guys, look at their stats, look what their ratings are, and then you can decide for yourself if you want to go after, spend a couple $100 on a guy and see where he ends up. You know what I mean? It's like the Anthony Volpe thing. So when Dominguez came out, Bowman that year, Volpe was the Yankees' number one pick. No one, I don't care what they say, was going after Volpe. Not a single person. then all of a sudden Volpe moves up in the rankings and he's number one and his cards are outselling Dominguez's Bowman first by a lot right now. So, I mean, and that part of it's fun where you could have made a couple $100 investment on Anthony Volpe. And I think his base Bowman first are some $400 or $500 right now raw. And that was like a $30 card. I think Brandon actually sent me one in the mail just because he didn't give two shits about it. Yeah, because he didn't care about it.
I have a lot of Volpe cards just because I know him.
Right.
You know, he played with Leiter Sun, right? You know, so, you know, I remember they were trying to get Leiter Sun also. They were both committing, I think, to Vanderbilt. And they couldn't get Leiter Sun to not go, but they convinced Volpe not to go. So I remember when that happened. That was a cool thing.
I think Bowman prospecting is a grown man's collectible side of the hobby. I think it takes a lot more effort into the Bowman because you're prospecting from a younger age. You're going through different stages of these guys in the minors. You're doing a lot of homework on them. I mean, you see some guys will write so much information down on each prospect list in Bowman. I just think Bowman's different. I think it's more fun for a lot of different reasons than the basketball or football. Which Cage doesn't give a shit about baseball.
No.
Andrew doesn't give a shit about baseball.
No, I mean, listen, but where Andrew comes from, though, is like, oh, let me invest my money in the top guy. You know, let me invest my money in the top guy. But how many times have we seen the top guy not work? How many Greg Odens are there? You know, how many, you know, Michael Olocandies are there? I mean, you know, we've seen it year over year.
Yeah, but I think in basketball, they flame out much quicker. In baseball, you're going to have at least – when a 17-year-old kid gets signed, international prospect, you're going to have at least 2 to 3 years before people give up on him, right? It's just how it works. In basketball, your rookie year, if you're ass, see you later.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought Kevin Knox was going to do well. He actually had a decent rookie year. I have no idea where the guy's even at anymore. So – they give up on people quick in basketball and quick in football. Baseball, they have a little bit more length.
I remember a prospect who couldn't shoot, and they haven't given up on him until this year. His name is Ben Simmons.
That's my boy.
And it's shot. You know, I got a lot of heat for my Ben Simmons play.
I was buying Ben Simmons before your play, and then once you posted that, everyone was coming at my neck. Oh, you're buying Ben Simmons, huh? Blah, blah, blah. You're damn right I am. I think he's one of the best defenders in the league. And I think he's going to be if he goes to somewhere like the Hawks and teams up with Trae Young, I think they'd be nasty.
They'll definitely be at least a sub-500 team.
I think they'll make some noise.
Dude, the Hawks
He's a disgruntled Philly fan. You know,
I just think the Hawks are terrible, man. It's Trae Young gets so much hobby love. And people say he doesn't get enough. He gets plenty. Yet he gives up more points against him than he scores for his team. They're like, look at his stats. Terrible. Oh, my God. Amazing box score. He's 5'10", 165 pounds. People just back. He can't defend it.
Oh, but Andrew, you posted that. It was that stat you posted the other day, right? The top 10 worst defense efficiency in the league.
I don't even run our IG account. Shout out to the podcast growing. Alex, thank you for doing that.
Well, there we go, guys. Someday. There we go. There we go.
We're growing. I'm scaling our team. I just help people with the post.
Gotcha.
You run College Hunks. Do you move the furniture?
No, but I read all my reports from the day. I know every claim that I have.
Oh, I.
So you think Trey gets enough love? Do you think Luka gets too much love?
Career.
I think Trey and Luka are both pretty overrated.
I'm not on the Luka bandwagon at all, and people can't stand it. But I think he's a horrible investment, personally.
Yeah, but the reason why I asked this is because I think there was a post about the top 10 worst defensive efficiency. I think Trey was up there, but I think Anthony Simons was up there as well, and everyone's buying him out the water right now.
Yep,
who's buying him?
People are.
He's a hot guy this week.
High end, and I asked someone. I said,
"On the Trailblazers."
Yeah,
I said, "Why are you buying him?" Oh, I think he's undervalued. I'm like, all right. I mean, I think he's in year four, is he? Because he got drafted the same year as Luka and Trey, so he's in year four right now.
Yeah, but so I understand the Anthony Simons buying more than Trey because we've seen what Trey could do. We still haven't seen what Anthony Simons could do, and yeah, he can't defend. But if Lillard goes somewhere or this team retools, he's going to get more usage and his numbers are going to go up. So there's still that like little bit of opportunity where
with Trey, dude, I was surprised how much of a step back they took. It wasn't us who posted that, and I was just kind of being like bantery, but like it wasn't us who posted. But Trey is who else was on that list? Out of curiosity,
God, dude, those were the only two that I really recall. Because I saw Trey, and I was like, oh man, he's obviously not great at defense. And then I saw Anthony Simons, that stood out to me a little bit.
Trey's never gotten the Hobby Love. I tried to sell Trey cards, and I'm like, wow, it's just no. He does. He's always been, you know, the stepchild to Luka in the Hobby.
Yeah, but even Luka's come down drastically.
Yeah, a lot.
And people are trying to trade Luka for high end Bowman stuff. You know, it's
and
like,
Ja.
Yeah.
Well, people want Ja now. Everybody wants the shiny new toy, man.
Of course, but
that's all it is.
Ja Morant's variation, super low pop, PSA 10, has come down dramatically. I mean, that was a $450 card before season, and now I one sold the other day for $280. Why? Is it just is the mid end getting slaughtered, regardless of pop, and everyone's looking for the low numbered color stuff only? Is that where we're at?
That's what everyone's being told to buy.
So yep. How long?
We need more money.
How long does that happen? How long does that happen? How long does that sustain for? You only have so many buyers for a $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 car.
Well, the thing is,
the low end all in NFTs now, which I think a good bound people are.
The important thing is for folks like fanatics claiming that they're going to grow the hobby by X amount of whatever it is. The reason why I believe people are able to spend their money now on those low number, you know, low pop numbered cards is because those are the same people buying those are the ones who've been in the hobby for a couple of years, and they were able to take advantage of the breaks, the grading, and selling their cards and making money and have the money to color up into those cards. That Ja card, the variant or the base stuff, those only come back if you have enough people new to this coming in, new participants in the hobby, younger kids getting older and looking to buy a Ja card, or people who are coming over from something else, maybe coming back from NFTs. Who the hell knows, right? But yeah, right now, that's and you need that to have the hobby keep going anyway. But yeah, I mean those mid-level stuff, those low-end things, that people who are in the hobby for a couple of years, they're not going to be buying those. They're looking to flip those into something else, you know.
So we don't have new people coming to the hobby then for those cards.
Well, I don't think we have enough not to match the the vast amount that's coming out, right? I mean, not to match the amount that's coming out of PSA, not when you have a million products released every week, right? There's not enough to consume at all.
I agree with you 100%. I think we're in a really weird position in the hobby as a whole.
But I do believe more people are going to come in. I really
we have a weird relationship with influencers, right? Because, Cade, what brought people to buy into those base cards and the base craze was people listening to Gary and going from sneaker flipping to cards, right?
Right.
And that
flipping Pete Alonzo's.
Yeah, Pete Alonzo's. I did that myself.
Cage was the original genie sweeper of eBay. He swept the floor on Pete Alonzo's.
Pete was like $35-$40 for PSA 10. They ended up selling for like what $140
at one okay
point. They were like $200 at one point.
I was buying them for $21, $22, $25. I bought everyone on eBay in one weekend that was below like 40 something. I bought everyone. I had like 100 and something of them.
All give you credit.
Where they are now?
He jumped into our group. No, he's like, "All right, guys, go get your Pete." He said, "Go get your Pete Alonzo's before I sweep all of these." And then he gave everyone like 24 hours in our.
He said, "You all have 24 hours to go buy as many as you want. I'm going to buy as many as I can."
This was like what 2 years ago?
Yeah, maybe even more.
I think like maybe. Three, probably.
It was so it's a 2019 Topps card. So you know whatever those were coming back PSA 10s. You know this is probably either early 20, late 19, something like that. You know so. Probably late 19, right?
Don, give a shout out. So, we did the awards. There's a few businesses that we omitted, and you said take a look at these. It'd be great on your show. Good people. They've done a lot for the hobby. Could you give them a shout out?
Yeah. The only person I really break with right now is Eric from Insta Trading Cards. He's a really good guy, very personable. He answers all your messages, DMs, and then another guy that I used to break a lot with was Steve from One of One Card Shop. But now he's kind of like you guys. He's growing. So he's got a crew of folks. He has a brick and mortar store as well. Those are two accounts that I like. But really, I the breaking thing has kind of come to a halt for me. I don't know if you guys are doing any breaks at all. I'll do baseball breaks still. And then my team, the Jags, went from the cheapest break to get into to now the most expensive break. But I think those prices are coming down because they're so bad. And Trevor Lawrence didn't play that great. But I don't think anyone here. Yeah, but I mean, and I've been saying it for years because I'm a Jags fan. If you would have put Tom Brady there, Tom Brady would be dead or broken in half. So it didn't matter who the quarterback is. When you don't improve the line or make those improvements, you can't win. And Urban Meyer was the worst hire ever on top of everything else. So the guy's a complete scumbag. And I'm a Gators fan too, by the way. So
I miss Gardner Minshew on the Jags. He was good.
I like Minshew. I know.
Dude,
Minshew was fun. Fun for the hobby.
Yeah. It was a good time, but again, the only reason he was successful is he could move his feet, right? He's very underrated athletically. And so Blake Bortles is a quarterback. He's a good friend of mine. Another guy that was sneaky athletic. So if you don't have that, I mean, like when they brought Nick Foles in, I didn't know we were going to talk about the Jags. What happened to him? First series, broken collarbone. So that would have been Tom Brady's same fate because you can't have somebody just sitting back there if you don't make those improvements on the line. So
Blake of the year. Dude, is Blake Bortles just the most like personable, cool guy in the world? That's the vibe I have of him from internet.
He is. He's a super. He's young, so he's like 10 years younger than me. But he's a really nice guy. His rookie year, I met him at TPC. They do like a military appreciation night, and he was there. And I was like, "Hey, Blake, you want to take a picture with the Coast Guard?" And he was like, "Yeah, well, I'll take a picture with the Coast Guard." And then I remember we're just small talking. He's like, "Oh, we should hang out sometime." I'm like, "How do you propose we do this hangout sometime?" You know, and he's like, "Oh, here's my cell phone number." And I'm like, "Blake, you don't think this is weird?" And he's like, "Why is it weird?" I'm like, "I don't know. There's like 20,000 women out here trying to get your phone number, and you're giving your phone number to some random Coast Guard guy." So at the time, so I have a clothing company. It's called Flow Motion, and it's based out of Jacksonville too. And our office was right by his house, actually. So he'd come over and play ping pong and drink beer and hang out. But he's very personable. He's a good dude for sure.
Little did Don know, you know, Blake liked to take his boat out, get drunk, and crash it. He needed the Coast Guard's help every now and again. I'm just kidding. Exactly. It didn't. You know, that would make sense.
So, though, I'll tell you one story about Blake real quick to tell you what kind of person he is. So it was my daughter's birthday, which happened to be the same year of the draft where they took Fournette, right? But everyone thought they were going to take Deshaun Watson. And I said, "Hey, Blake, Leilani, my daughter wants you to come to birthday dinner. I understand it's a big night, so if you can't come, don't worry about it." And he was like, "No, I'll absolutely be at Leilani's birthday dinner." And it's significant because that night, if they would have drafted Deshaun Watson, that means he was gone, wasn't going to have a job anymore. But he came to dinner for my daughter's dinner. He had dinner with us and then was like, "I got to go," because people in the restaurant, you could hear the whispers and people going, "Why is he out on draft night? Like, doesn't he know he might not have a job after tonight?" But this is the type of guy he was. So he came to dinner, made my daughter's night, and then that was it. But yeah, overall, good dude. I think he signed with the Saints. Was the last time I talked to him, but I don't think he's with them anymore. So.
UCF guy, right?
Yeah, UCF guy. Yeah, he's a Florida guy through and through.
He's not allowed to go out to a birthday on draft night. You have to like stay home.
It's not a good look. You know what I mean? Especially if they would have took Deshaun Watson, meaning that he didn't have a job anymore. So it was a stressful night. You know, it's like
your career on the line. NFL is really weird. Like all of the, like the business side of NFL is very, it's kind of cutthroat, huh?
It's super cutthroat. I mean, those guys are.
Don, point me to your website. So Slow Motion.
Slow Motion. It's FLOMOTION, like on my hat here.
Business is always booming for AB though.
I can't multitask.
Slow Motion.
Why can't I find it, Don? Help me out here.
It's just don't know how to spell.
I don't know how to spell. .com?
Yep.
Come on. Look at Don. What do you think? You put .org? Come on now. Look at the guy.
He's a .com guy. All right, I'll put it up here. I'm just trying to put it up so people could go to the site and check it out. So, anyway, if you guys are listening and this is your first time listening, I know I'm acting a fool, but I'm just having some fun today. I warned you in the beginning. Second thing is maybe that I could redeem myself. We recently reached a one-year partnership with SGC, and hopefully, you know, this is just a small token of our appreciation, giving back. You know, we always ask for how can – you know, our relationship with these businesses give back to our community, because that's why we're here. So first time listening or not,
email me. I am Andrew Goldberg at gmail.com. We have 50 free submissions every single month rolling. So I'll send you guys, send me an email. I'll get you on. I've been giving away 2, 3, 4, 5 free submissions every month to people. Just shoot me an email. And I know I'm behind on answering some emails, but I will get to everyone. I promise you. Any final words, Cage? Any final words, Bro Namath?
No, if we don't, listen, if you don't get in this month, we'll roll you over till next month. Don't get mad at Andrew if he's not responding to your email right away. I get some funny messages. It's like, I can't get Andrew.
Is that right, Dom?
No, F.
Flow.
God. I don't even know what, I can't see what you're looking at.
Flow.
What else?
Like, I checked out already.
How long have you been in Mexico, bro? Jesus.
Let me ask you something. But how do you decide on who you take on as a sponsor?
Flow Motion. Look at that. That's good stuff.
That's a sick hat.
Yeah.
He's very snobby about his hats. I will tell you this.
Those board shorts are pretty nasty, Don.
These ones
very
are
very snobby.
Those are jellyfish. The Wild Knights. Those are, how big are the inseam on those? Oh, nice, 16 inches.
Not big. Okay, we see what you're doing here, Bro Namath.
So, Andrew, you want to tell Don how we figure out what sponsors we go with the show?
Sure.
If not, I'll do it. It's easy.
Five. Like who supports our mission that business and capitalism is good, and you should make money, and you should get rewarded for your time and effort. But it's also important, like I'm a big social entrepreneurship fan. Make your money and then give back. So that's where I'm at with it. It's really not super complex.
Andrew is being modest. We have one question that we ask whenever somebody approaches us after they pass the smell test, obviously. It's what are they going to do for our own? What are they going to do for the listeners? What are they doing for the little guy? Andrew's all about the little guy. That's his thing. He should get a tattooed on his ass. Forget about Zion, right? So we always ask, you know, I mean, you know, as long as it's somebody who jives with us, as long as somebody who, you know, we have a good rapport with, we have to find out, well, what does this sponsorship do for our listening community, for the people who bought Lucas Tigers NFTs, for the people who listen to us? What value is there in us having this sponsorship? And many times the answer to that question is we don't see one and don't enter into that arrangement with that company. If we do see one,
or we end arrangements, right, with companies too. Like sometimes, like you want to give people a chance, but like at the end of the day, like if they're not doing right by customers, like I'll support you. I want everyone to win. I think there is room for everyone, but like for sure. And dude, we've done cool shit. Like we did a 1 month partnership with Dibs, got $5,000, and we did a reward program for our Lucas Tigers NFT holders. Everyone got like $100 a piece. We just
paid it right back. We didn't take any of the money.
That's awesome.
Just distributed it to our people.
My people.
The SGC grading was nice. That one was one of the easiest conversations we've had. I got to be honest with Peter. Like, you know, sometimes you think of partnerships and they're paying you and all that stuff, and there's like friction. With SGC, it was very like, yeah, dude, we want to give back, we want to help out, and so that was actually a really easy negotiation to have.
We also want to get him out in front of folks, which is going to happen about Friday, maybe. Yeah. Gonna happen that soon too, because you know you gotta have people be able to ask whatever questions and you know find out you know who you're doing business with, right, Don? I mean that's kind of key, right? You are in a business, you know, people want to know if there's a problem, you're there.
Brennan, how's College Hunks killing the game?
It's good, man. We just had that big premiere on Undercover Boss this last Friday, which has gotten really good traction. The founders of the company were on it and visited a couple locations up north, and it's been good, man. Business is good.
Don, I'm sorry I cut you off.
No. I appreciate you guys answering. I was just curious because I know, you know, I have a smaller podcast, right? And I've had people ask me about sponsoring and stuff, and I've chosen not to at right now just because I'm doing it for fun, not for anything, not any financial gain or anything. Not that you guys are, but I just thought it was interesting because like when you guys took the SGC, you know, to promote that, and then you guys caught flack from one of those meme accounts. I think it was card porn or Lamine James, right? One of them. And I just thought it was interesting that people see that in a negative
way. Did they hide it from us? They posted it and hid it from us.
No, you remember they were talking about how you guys were talking about them, but you never said that they were, you were promoted by them, yada, yada, yada. It was a whole thing. We were talking about it in that chat.
I think they were going the angle of like, you guys can't have an unbiased opinion because you have sponsors. Right. And, if I remember,
influencers influencing.
Yeah. That's why I'm paying next year to be on the damn poll. I'm done with this.
That's it.
What category? Young entrepreneur?
Normal person in the hobby.
The best normal person in the hobby.
The everyday person.
The everyday bro.
The everyday bro.
Average Joe's. Average bro.
I think we got a category for him. The most handsome cassette collector in the baseball card space.
That is very true.
I mean, are there, he can't even win that. That's what can't even get a win there, man. I'm trying.
Hey, man, Rovell just crushed me everywhere I go, man. we talk about VHS, the next thing I know, he has a million of them.
It's insane how that happens, right? How that happens.
Guys, do me a favor. Flow motion, not slow motion like juvenile. Flow motion. Dude, your inventory is awesome. Do you guys deliver to Mexico? To Tulum?
I don't know. You have to check the site, but if you really want to order something, let me know, and we'll figure it out.
I'm gonna at least get a hat for sure. It's been a good week. It's been a good year. Love you guys. Appreciate you, Don. Thank you for being so good.
Thanks for having us on.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you for spending some time with us on another episode of the Lucas, Tigers, and Bronze Oh My podcast. Do us a favor and like, subscribe. Now, you know what? Don't just like and subscribe. Everybody does that. If you like us, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your enemies, tell everybody. And we hope you got something from spending some time with us today, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.